Now, I want to go back to a message that we got in a little bit earlier on that says, what do you think about the Minister for Justice not going to the Garda annual delegate conference? The Garda Commissioner was not invited, so Minister Helen McEntee said she won't go. This listener says she's treating it like a wedding invitation. If he's not invited, I'm not going. That's not the way it works, says this listener, and goes on to say she is standing by the Garda Commissioner when her loyalty should be with the grassroots Gardaí. Well, let's go live to Westport then, and the Kildare representative for the Garda Representative Association, the GRA, John Joe O'Connell, is with us on the line. John Joe, good morning, and thanks for joining us. Just to go to these invitations, because this seems to be dominating now the headlines across all the various media, where the Commissioner Drew Harris wasn't invited to this. First of all, why was he not invited? And second of all, what do you make now of Minister Helen McEntee saying she's not going because he wasn't invited?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, while both are connected, they're also separate issues. So, number one, anyway, our members, there was a ballot conducted of confidence in the Garda Commissioner in the latter end of last year, and that came back with almost 99% of respondents saying that they had no confidence in the Garda Commissioner. So when it came around then to, I suppose, arranging our conference and invites going out, there was we made a decision, the GRA made a decision, that we could not, I suppose, go against the grain of what our members had said a couple of months previous in relation to that they had no confidence in the Garda Commissioner and invite him to our conference. Now, so that's, one aspect.
Okay, second, let's aspect, stay with that with the moment then, right, John Joe, because does that not mean now that yourselves, the rank-and-file Gardaí, are just going to be shouting into a vacuum here for the next 2 days in Westport because the Commissioner is not there to hear the concerns of you, so you're just talking amongst yourselves?
Well, most definitely not. We're not going to be scratching our heads wondering what to do when the Commissioner isn't here or the Minister for Justice as well. We have a full agenda, wide-ranging topics to be debated and discussed, which affect our members in Kildare and across the country. They include everything from paying conditions, pensions, rosters, uniform equipment, along with also the welfare, well-being, health and safety of our members. That conference sets policy. Whatever happens during conference over the next 2 days sets policy for the next 12 months and go moving forward for our association on how we deal with, I suppose, other parties and the Commissioner and Minister for Justice and Ministers, other departments in relation to those particular topics, let's say. And we will be well whether the Commissioner is invited or not, or the Minister for Justice decides to attend or not. We will be getting our message across to those particular people in the coming weeks and months after conference.
Right, Minister Helen McEntee, as of this morning, says she won't be going. Your response to that, and what do your members feel in relation to her stance?
Well, we have plenty of issues to talk, and we would like to think that the Minister should have attended. I suppose other people have commented that that's a decision for herself. I think it's a very poor decision in relation to the Minister. She's the Minister for Justice, and there was a recent kind of commentary made by the government that to support members of Ancarda Síochána. I think that kind of flies in the face of that. It is interesting that this morning on Taoiseach is quoted as saying that it's a regrettable decision by the GRA not to invite the Commissioner, but he respects that. And also he added on, he has had good engagement with the GRA himself. Now, what I will say, that would point out to me that the GRA have been here and remained the same, whereas there has been a juggling around of ministers over the last few months and year as well. And so, yeah, we did have good engagement when on Taoiseach, Simon Harris was stepped in as the Minister for Justice. So, you know, that's something that maybe they can talk about themselves up there. We're here to represent our members, to come up with policy which improves the paying conditions, welfare, and all those other issues that I mentioned for our members. And whether those people who are important, a part of the cog of us to get our work done, we will be talking and debating those issues, voting on motions, and whatever decisions come out of conference over the next couple of days, we will be bringing that to the attention of those people.
Let's get to some of the issues then that are going to be discussed over the next few days. Rank and file Gardaí are saying that frontline Gardaí don't have the resources, training or protective equipment to deal with far-right intimidation and violence. And I don't want to harp back to the riots up in Dublin in November, but that seemed to be a wake-up call for a lot of people.
Yeah, there's no problem harping back to that at all. And I was up there myself with colleagues from Leixlip, Kildare, Neas, Robertstown, Newbridge. We went up that night to deal with that, and there are some motions to be discussed over the next couple of days, which probably stem from issues that arose directly from that. So with uniform and equipment in particular, there is a motion here on the floor which is seeking that the Garda Commissioner ensure that every member of a Garda Síochána of Garda rank is issued with a personal protection helmet as part of standard personal protection equipment. Now, that sounds obvious. So basically what we're looking for, when I joined on Garda Síochána, and there was other motions here in relation to public order training down the college, you did a week or a fortnight of training in relation to handling public order incidents and riots, and we did that, we trained that, and you left Templemore with a riot helmet. Every single member of a Garda Síochána left Templemore after the training period with a riot helmet to deal with these incidents. Now, on the night in question, there were a few of the, more senior members like myself and other colleagues from NAIS arrived with the riot helmets that they were given in Templemore 15, 20, 25 years ago. And it was amazing to see it on the streets of Dublin that night because technically speaking, these are from a bygone era. But we are looking for that to be reintroduced to our members back as it was done back that time, that every member would leave Templemore with this PPE. You know, you can't go onto a building site without your proper PPE and hard hats and the like. So we're looking for this to come in for our members as well. Also, we're looking for reintroduced public order training down the Garda College, and also simple things like appropriate lockers for the public for the members who are training public order in their stations. We had an instance back in the last year for those riots, where members had to leave their station, drive home, go and collect their public order gear, and come back into Dublin City Centre. You know, so it's kind of amazing stuff, really. But these are some of the issues that we're looking to be addressed, you know.
Roads policing, then, something else that a lot of people, not only Gardaí, but just the general public would say need to be looked at. And last week we heard Commissioner Drew Harris announcing that all uniformed Gardaí will have to do 30 minutes of road policing on duty. He introduced the new initiative earlier this month based on international research and has also promised to increase the number of Gardaí in road policing units. That's been welcomed by some, but the GRA describing it as a PR stunt. Why a PR stunt?
Right, well, the second part of what you said first is fully acceptable, and I would agree with that, to boost up the members in roads policing. I'm actually a member of that unit myself in NAIS and in the Kildare Division. The problem is that we have been reduced, just to give you rough figures, we've been halved in the members across the country in roads policing. And that's had, naturally enough, a knock-on effect of the work that we can do and different operations we conduct from across the 365 days of the year. This thing of members conducting a half an hour, the normal guards across the Kildare Division and across the country to conduct a half an hour of high visibility roads policing, whatever. Like, at the end of the day, if I'm in a patrol car in Neas and I have to drive out to Robertstown for a call, and then I have to drive to Kale and drive to back into Neas, that's all high visibility patrolling as it is. So we see this as more or less recording what another let's just formation of statistics recording this, what members are already doing. But I think the second point that you mentioned on is to boost the numbers in the roads policing units across the country. And that it will have a direct correlation with reducing the serious injuries and fatalities in the country on our roads. It will have a direct correlation. You put the members and resources into the roads policing and you will see those numbers reducing.
We need more checkpoints, do we not, around the county and around the country, and not just on bank holidays?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, like, I can tell you, like there's different operations announced. There's different operations announced, you know, throughout the year. But I can tell you, and I can say this because I work in that unit, is that we conduct checkpoints every day of the week. We conduct mandatory drug and alcohol testing checkpoints every day of the week, whether that's a Tuesday night or a Sunday morning or a Saturday night. So we're out there, but yes, of course, with more members, we can conduct more of those checkpoints and detect the offences that I've spoken about there, you know.
Okay, and finally then, John Joe, something that we speak to you quite regularly about when you're on the programme is whether or not the Garda Force is an attractive job, and why are we seeing less and less people joining on Garda Síochána? You know, maybe it's because of what we've talked about this morning, but do you think the recruitment is going to go up in the not too distant future?
Well, look, I suppose we'd love when there's recruitment drives and that, but what I will say, I'll get back to what we've spoken about actually earlier, is that some of the motions here are about the pay and conditions of our members. There's other motions here dealing with the draconian discipline measures that we see are affecting morale, the length and breadth of the country with our members. The suspension policy, the lack of training, the lack of driver training, the extra admin that's forced on our members. Look, would I change a day that I've worked in Garda Síochána since 1996? No, but we're here to try and improve the pay and conditions of those members. And naturally enough, when you improve the pay and conditions of the members who are currently here, you're going to improve it for our new members. A note for the title of our conference is, it's a job worth protecting. And I suppose, you know, we try and protect the public in our day jobs. As the Garda Representative Association, we want to be here, and we reckon it's a job worth protecting. Give us the tools of our trade, give us the training, and you know, boost the morale of our members, and there'll be very little issues after that.
All right, John Joe O'Connell, Kildare representative for the GRA. We'll let you go because I know it's going to be a busy couple of days up in Westport. Thanks for joining us this morning. Just getting to some of the messages then. In the UK, they have what they call a JRU, Joint Response Unit, where a police officer with medical skills but in full police uniform travels in the vehicle with an ambulance officer to all sorts of incidents. Usually they get there before the ambulance to go to assaults and accidents. It works really well, and the ambulance officer feels safer as a police officer is there to manage public order as well as protect the medical staff and help with medical care. Imagine if it was suggested here, how many years do you think the unions would hold it up? Another one says, Owen, a soldier does not a 31-year pension. It is a 21-year pension with 10-year increments, bringing it to 31 years. The state take back the increments. It's a contract signed up to as a recruit. It will never change. A retired soldier who checked it all out. Okay, thanks for sending that in to us. That's in response to a query that a listener texted in earlier on this morning. And thanks for getting in touch with us. Lots more on the way after these.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now keep those messages coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97 on the text and WhatsApp. Well, a public meeting is taking place tonight regarding the housing of refugees on the Wicklow-Kildare border in Kilbride and the Blessington area. And joining me on the line is Independent Councillor on Wicklow County Council, Gerry O'Neill. Gerry, good morning and thanks for taking our call. So there's a number of facilities here that we're talking about. Cruxley Lodge, which a lot of people will remember was set alight a number of weeks ago, Kapur Lodge as well, and also the Shankill Army Camp, all around the Blessington Kilbride area. Gerry, can you give us a bit more context as to what's going on?
Yeah, well, I spoke to you there some time ago about Cruxling, and the department now, Roderick O'Gorman's department, has been given license by the HSE to avail of the area, the 40-odd acre for accommodation for refugees. Our argument there, of course, the local action group, is that it's not the ownership of the HSE to let it to anyone, that land there is belongs to the people of the area. It was gifted by the landlord over 100 years ago for the use of the sick and the elderly of the area. And that's our argument. We are actually, at the moment, we have a solicitor dealing with that issue, and we hope to progress that within the next week or two. As regards Kipure Lodge, that's the lodge just on the Sally Gap Road. At the moment, Wicklow County Council are challenging the building of up to 30 houses illegally. There is no permission whatsoever for these houses. And also the situation as regards complaints to Wicklow County Council over a septic tank. And seemingly, in a nutshell, the area there is just not able for the volume of people. Again, I'd like to point out, Owen, that I work with these refugees. I've been involved in them. I do what I can for them. It's not an anti-refugee issue that anyone in this area has. The rules are being broken here in a big way with building in West Wicklow or Kildare area here. We're bordering each other. It's almost impossible to build a one-off house. Is very, very hard. But yes, others can get away with building 30 houses, and these 30 houses seemingly are for the to accommodate refugees. These are properly constructed houses with a foundation. That is not the case with IPAS as regards accommodation for refugees. They will be only movable buildings without a foundation. You know, this breaks every rule in the book.
Right. And, I mean, the argument as well, Gerry, we've heard from different people around the country who would have concerns regarding these buildings being built for refugees or being let for refugees. These are in quite rural areas, in Crooksling, Shankill, Kipure Lodge, out there in Kilbride and Blessington. So some people might be listening and saying, it's not going to impact the local community at all. What would you say to that?
Well, of course, it does really, because, I mean, the people, children have to go to school and people have to get out and about, and that's quite understandable. But the concern there is that, you know, the schools are packed to capacity. They intend bringing in more people. I don't know where the schooling, I don't know how that's going to work out. As regards, doctors and that, you know, you can't get a doctor in the area. So it affects everyone. Everyone, not only the refugees, it affects the local people in a big way. It's just got out of control now. As a councillor here in West Wicklow, I'm dealing with people who are on the housing list, and on the housing list a long time, and they're being told by the local authority to go get a house and we'll look after the HAP. And it's impossible to get them, because what's happened here in a huge way is that people are now letting houses out to the highest bidder. And, you know, if these landlords now can get 76 euro or whatever a night for a refugee, you know, that eliminates the person on the housing list completely. They don't have a hope. I mean, the average house around here will be up to $2,000 a month. I mean, they can bring in between 10 and 12 grand a month by accommodating the unfortunate refugees. So It's a total mess. It's dreadful.
And on that, we covered this on the programme yesterday here in Kildare in Newbridge, where apparently a house is to be let now to the government, where they're going to allow refugees go into that house and the landlord to get that money that you're talking about, Gerry. The public meeting then tonight. Actually, before we talk about the public meeting, just go back to Crooksling, and you'll recall when you were on this programme with us, the refugees were brought out. It was on St. Patrick's Day. Refugees brought out to Crooksling. They had a look around the facility, said it wasn't suitable, and decided to walk back in then to Dublin City Centre because they were so unhappy with it. So it seems as though, in some cases, nobody's really winning here. The local community are saying we can't take any more, and the refugees are saying the facilities are not good enough. So everybody's falling in between two stools.
Exactly, exactly. And these are, as you said at the outset, the areas I'm talking about here, they're three very rural areas. And I mean, there's buses on these narrow roads day in, day out, bringing people to to maybe shops or doctors or whatever. They are really, I mean, on the Sally Gap, your listeners there will probably, a lot of them will know the Sally Gap. I mean, it's a wild part of the world, and there's over 200 in one accommodation there. And then Shankill Army Camp, again, though, it's a long way off the beaten track. And I don't know, it's not suitable as such. It's just a total mess. I don't know where to go from here, because it's clashing with the people on, as I say, on the housing this year. It's clashing as regards the infrastructure, the accommodation, schools, doctors, the whole lot. It's a sorry, sorry mess. Sadly, it's getting a lot worse. And then we have an extra issue here, in the case being that, you know, well-organised developers who own quite a few houses in the area, they are actually putting people under pressure to move on out, where they have up to 2,000 a month for them. And the people that I'm dealing with that have been asked to leave their house are all non-national. That's neither here nor there, but just to point out to you that they're actually moving on non-nationals to fit the house out with more non-nationals, but they'll make more money, a lot more money for the refugees than the people who are there at the moment. So that's probably my biggest issue as a councillor at the moment.
Yeah.
The amount of people here that are coming to me, and they just don't know where to go.
That comes back to the government, though, because as a developer, if, you know, a lot of developers, it's their job and they want to make money. If the government are willing to pay that much, then, you know, a lot of developers are going to jump at that opportunity.
Well, that's what it is, Owen. It's the temptation is there to make big money and quickly, and that's exactly what it is. But on the other hand, the hardship they're causing a lot of people, you know, both national and non-national, which is my concern. Everyone that's on that housing is my concern. But the hardship that, you know, the government are indirectly causing these people is huge. Huge. I sat in the house the other night of a non-national family, and, you know, they were actually told by the developer that, you know, they had 2 more days and they're out of there. And they even threatened that the Gardaí would be with them to move them. You know, this type of stuff is going on in a big way.
This public meeting tonight, then, it's in St. Bridget's Hall in Kilbride. What's the purpose of it, Gerry? Because we've seen some of these meetings being taken over by the far right and then everything gets all lost. But from a point of view of a resident's point of view, what's the plan?
Well, this meeting is nowhere for anyone of the far right or any of this stuff, you know, or the far left. I'm neither loony left or loony right, and the people that I'm dealing with, they are just concerned people, and they're of the same opinion as myself, you know, that we are in a mess here at the moment with all this, and how do we get out? You know, we want to see, you know, we're all God's creatures, no matter where we come from or what we are. The mess that we are in here as regards trying to squeeze people in here and there, and the big money to be made out of it, that's where the problem is. That's the huge problem.
That meeting takes place at 8 o'clock tonight in St. Bridget's Hall in Kilbride. Independent Councillor Gerry O'Neill for Wicklow County Council. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Owen.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, a community information event takes place in Kilcock this coming Thursday, encouraging locals to learn about the supports and services that are available in the town. It's been organised by Tara Lane of the Kilcock Business Association and also a Fine Gael candidate in the area for the upcoming local elections. Tara, welcome to the programme. Just tell us a little bit about why you decided to put this event on.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on. And we all know people that could do with support who are going through tough times. So I reached out to the various services that may be able to help. And I've learned so much doing my research about what's available and contacting these groups. So a lot of them are coming on Thursday to Kilcock GAA between 3 and 8pm. So that members of our community can have an informal chat and hopefully find out about services that they or friends may need.
especially for those who might be new to the area, Tara, that aren't aware of what goes on in Kilcock. It's a good opportunity for them to get to know people and to get to know those organisations that you've mentioned.
Exactly. Well, we're putting on free tea and coffee, and the idea is that people will come in, have a chat, hopefully meet people, and then find out about the various clubs, the sports services and the community groups. You know, like the sports club we have, there's a new club that's set up in the new community centre called Netto Fitso Academy. There's a strong and steady class, which is a type of chair yoga. The yoga studio, the North Kildare Club, which is just down the road that has loads of sports. The Clane Stapletown Indoor Bowling, the Royal Canal Park Run, Kilcock Celtic, Yoga with Anne-Marie, Playball and Embrace Ballet, who also does adult classes. And then in the community groups and services, we've got the Kilcock Girl Guides, Kilcock Library, our amazing Community First Responders group who will be doing demonstrations, the Kilcock Business Association, Kilcock Tidy Towns and Community Gardens. Lenny from Kilcock Gardaí is coming down. There's the Stapletown Donaghadee Art Group. The Kilcock Indian Community are going to put on food, which will be very exciting. Kilcock Musical and Dramatical Society. The Kinder Club, which is a new creative arts and crafts group. Of course, the Men's Shed and Kiltis Kilcock. And then we also have the support services, which I think are really, really important, and I really appreciate them coming to us. There's Tourist Lekela, which is a grief support service that's actually based in Kilcock, Age Action, the Kildare Local Enterprise Office, Family Carers Ireland, and I appreciate all the work that carers do. I'm a carer for my 94-year-old mum, and I think the support that's needed is huge for carers. They do so much. There's the MABS office in Kildare, Grow Mental Health, the Little Way Cancer Support from Clane, Alone, and the Kilcoon Credit Union, who have an office in the square in Kilcock. So there's lots on.
Lots happening. So that is this coming Thursday, the 25th of April, between 3 and 8 o'clock in Kilcock GAA. And from what I gather there as well, Tara, it's not just limited to those that live in Kilcock, but the surrounding areas like Newtown, like Stapletown, Donaghadee, Clane, etc.
Exactly, and Rathcoffey. And I also want to say we have free face painting for children between 4 and 7 p.m. I wanted people to be able to pop in, so either they can collect the children and then pop in after school on the way home and get their face painting done, or maybe they're working and they'll pop in on the way home, or they might go home, come back and go around the event. And Stuart actually from the GAA is putting on food, which is super, and we have a speaker zone. So the local enterprise office in Kildare are going to talk about supports that are available. Home Comfort Retrofits are talking about grants, about energy upgrading and what's the best fit for people. Kilcock Library are talking about what's available in the library, how to join, and they're actually doing a story time. And then there's benefits of yoga and a taster class. And to show what a true community event this is, I got an offer this morning from an Enfield-based business called Vortec, who have come forward to offer us the lend of a screen for the speaker zone. So people are reaching out, wanting to be involved, because they realise that it is a true community event. And as you said, there's so many new people to Kilcock. It'd be super if they came in, met people and found out what's available on the doorstep.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with it, Tara. I know that Permanent TSB there in the town sponsored the signs, and Kilcock GAA giving you the use of the hall for that information event Thursday, this coming Thursday, between 3 and 8 o'clock. Tara Lane from the Kilcock Business Association and Fine Gael candidate in the area, thanks for joining us. Let's go to the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District then with Councillor Joe Neville. And Joe, a lot of issues that you brought forward to Kildare County Council in and around Selbridge and Leixlip. And first of all, you were looking for an update and an improvement to the footpath underneath Cope Bridge for access as soon as possible. Kildare County Council saying it's not their remit or not their problem.
No, and look, first of all, I just want to wish Tara well on her event this Thursday. It sounds like a brilliant event. So many groups going, so good luck to Tara on that. Just as regards the issue there with the bridge, is what's happened is we've got a great greenway between Louisa and Castle train station, but unfortunately it's not accessible to people for wheelchair users, people with disabilities, from the Confey side. So I obviously want the Kildare County Council just to fix underneath the bridge to allow access down on that side, because otherwise you're forcing people across the road there, and you know it's a very dangerous junction near Confey JA there. So they have said that it's waterways Ireland there, but at the same time, this is something I've raised before, and I'm just was quite surprised that that was the level of the response. So realistically, Kildare County Council just needs to get the shoulders up and actually just get this done with waterways Ireland and get it resolved, because we need access for all on the greenway.
What about road safety issues at River Forest, Joe?
Yep. Look, once again, probably another issue I've probably spoken about over the last while on your show. River Forest, obviously one of the largest estates in Kildare, and has a school down the end of it. I'm the board of management of the school, and safety is an issue there. So what we've looked for is a safety review, safety report, and Kildare County Council have said, well, we have to wait and see what happens with the DART Plus. But for me, it's not about the DART Plus scheme affecting the entrance. It's also about internally and the traffic going up and down to make it safer for kids. So, in fairness, the Kildare County Council have said that they will push to get that review done. So, at least then we can get plans for making it safer for children getting up and down to school, and indeed for the residents of the estate.
You also want the council to apply for IPB funding for footpaths in the municipal district from the central fund, something that listeners have contacted us about, especially in Leixlip, where they say the footpaths, particularly on the main street, are not in the best condition.
Yeah, look, this is something, once again, the IPB funding is funding that goes allocated towards each county annually, and it's part of a wider fund. Leixlip and Salbridge hadn't got their share over the last number of years, and I've looked for it, and we actually got good news on this one. Sometimes we don't get good news, sometimes we get bad news, and this one we got good news. We've got 400,000, because I kept pushing and pushing and pushing, we have 400,000 now for money to repair the footpaths and putting paths new in place in Leixlip. So that's a good news story and a positive result, I suppose, due to me pushing for that.
Finally then, Joe, Ryvale House, there we discussed this with you. Not the nicest of topics to have to discuss,
no,
where human waste was found in Squirrel Wood near Ryvale House, and you wanted an update to see if it's happened again or whether Kildare County Council are continuing to monitor it.
Yeah, well, look, they have looked at it, and it's been treated. It's happened a few different times. I actually walked the area with one of the senior members of Kildare County Council, highlighting the issue. And obviously, look, we saw what we saw there. So, I've asked for obviously a full report, and we got a report. It was four bags of stuff. Let's call it, for want of a better term, removed, and the area has to be monitored. I would say I've also spoken to the guards in the area, the guard station close by. I've asked them to do extra patrols of the area. For that, and also look, we're also potentially looking for CCTV that we might look, I've requested that as well, because this is a wooded area, a small wooded area in the middle of a housing estate, which is used by kids and by children, and you just can't really have that sort of behaviour in an area like that, and it's not good enough. So this is one I'll continue to press and push because it needs to be resolved.
All right, we'll leave it there. Fine Gael, councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, Joe Neville, thanks for joining us this morning. A reminder as well, by the way, just later today, that Taoiseach Simon Harris is going to be apologising to the families and victims of the Stardust tragedy. Stardust survivor and campaigner Antoinette Keegan said the state apology must be robust, sincere, and address issues including the systematic abuse that the families have been subjected to for the last 43 years from the state. She says we should have never had to go through the last 43 years. Many of the families are expected to watch from the Dáil Public Gallery as the apology is read out. A total of 48 young people died in the Stardust fire in Artain in the early hours of the 14th of February 1981. And Antoinette Keegan saying that she would like people to be taught about the Stardust tragedy. And she told Simon Harris it should be put into the school curriculum and that it should never have ever happened. So that apology expected later on this afternoon.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KSL.